All right, awesome. Pick up your books, get into them. This week was about the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua from the Bible, and the story had excerpts from that, and it was inspiring. It made me want to go back and read all of the book of Joshua again, because it's just such a great, great book. We were sitting down, and I was reading to my boys out of the children's Bible that they sell that goes with the story, And as I was reading the story, it just left out so many details that my boys would love to hear, because they love violence. And Joshua is a violent, violent book. And I mean, if it would be like 300, if they were going to make, you know, Joshua into a movie, it would have to be rated R. It would just, there was so much blood and guts. And so I'm sitting there telling them, I'm like, okay, yeah, here's what they're telling you in this story, but in the real Bible, you know, they took these guys and he said, put your foot on their neck, and they took their heads off and they put their bodies up on poles. And my wife's in the kitchen saying, that's enough. They don't need to hear that. That's enough. So I was exposing our kids to a little bit of Joshua there. So, but it really is. It's a great, great, great book. 24 chapters. So if you get a chance this week, in addition to your chapter you're reading in the story, check out the whole book of Joshua. It's awesome. So before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for the book of Joshua, the events that happened in that. It's such an encouraging book. It's such a powerful book. Father, I pray that today that we are encouraged, that we are lifted up, that your word speaks to our hearts, and it would speak into situations in our lives today that we're going to be talking about, and that you would bless the situations, bless the people, and help them to take this example that we're going to be looking at from the book of Joshua and apply it to their situation today that we're going to be talking about. Thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And one more thing before I do get started. I told you guys I wasn't going to say anything more about this on a Sunday morning, but I do want to give you a public thank you. This week has been amazing. And the encouragement and the way that you have lifted me up and God has used you, I appreciate that. So thank you so much. I did want to say that. And I won't say anything more. So Joshua, right into it. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 5, says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. That is such a powerful statement. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Everyone say, with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you guys have heard that before? Here's where it comes from. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Now, before we take off into this morning, I want to let you guys know that the first half, like the first 15 minutes, it's actually less than half today. It's a long one. So, but the first 15 minutes, you guys are going to be a little bit in the fog, okay? And then I'm going to really introduce what we're really talking about. And I want to do that because we've got a foundation we need to build before I can start opening up the subject that we're going to unpack today. Does that make sense? Okay, so can you stick with me for this? All right, so just take it in and know, okay, I'm going to need this in a few minutes. So just suck it up. Just be hungry for it and drink it and eat it and know here in a few minutes I'm going to understand what this is for. Okay? So we're talking about Joshua, and so today we're talking about take it and keep it. How bad do you want it? It's going to be our first question we're going to start off with, and I want to bring some meaning to that once we get some foundation going, but I want us to write that down so it can be in our heads and it can kind of be sitting there for a few minutes. How bad do you want it? God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. So let's go and write that down. Be strong and courageous. And then just under that, God is with you. God told Joshua, I am with you. Be strong and courageous. Why? I am with you. I am with you. God says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So God is with you, so you can't be defeated. I want us to be encouraged by that. Think about that. If God is with you, how can you be defeated? And this would be something easy where you'd be saying, well, preacher, you're proof texting. You're just pulling this out of Joshua. You know, how do we know this is what God's speaking to all of his people? Well, it's because it's consistent with what God has shared. Take a look at this. Let's take a journey through some of this. God told Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, do not be afraid, for I am. I'm with you. To Jacob in Genesis 28, he said, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And here in Joshua, he says, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Then God told Israel through the prophet of Isaiah, do not fear, I am with you. It's starting to sound like a broken record. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God told Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, do not be afraid of them. I am with you. And then if this weren't enough, that's all Old Testament. Some of you guys are thinking, well, that's just Old Covenant stuff. That's Old Testament stuff. What about New Testament? Well, Jesus tells his church, and that involves all of us. He says, surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. And Paul says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Church, be strong and courageous because God is with you. Be reminded today that God is with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, do not be afraid. God is with you. Turn to another neighbor and tell them, be strong and courageous. God is with you. If God's for us, who can be against? How can we be defeated? He tells Joshua, he says, no one's going to be able to stand up against you because I'm with you. Jesus tells the church, he says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. He's spoken to the church that way. If even the gates of Hades have no power over the church, then anything less wouldn't either. If God is with you, what do you have to fear? So be strong and courageous, church, because God is with you. Do not fear, because God is with you. What would it be like if the church really believed this? I mean, imagine what the church could do. Imagine what our church could do. If we believe that God is with us, and because of that, we had no ability to fail, no ability to be defeated. Imagine what we could do in our individual lives. Jesus assured us that he is with us always to the very end of the age. And just before he says that, he says these words. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Everyone say all. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says, I'm with you always. So don't fear. Be strong and courageous. God tells Joshua a couple verses down in verse 7. He says, be strong and very courageous. Kind of building it up, ramping it up here. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, either from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Everyone say successful. Now I need to pause there for a minute because there's a thing, there's a style of theology that's called health and wealth gospel. It's not a theology that I buy into. Okay, and it's a theology that says if you give your life to God, then your health's going to be great. If you give your life to God, then you're going to be wealthy. Yeah, I've got a lot of heads shaking. It don't work that way. Okay, now, well, state up front, I don't believe in that, and I don't preach that. This message is going to go right up to the edge of that border, just to let you know. And there are some distinct differences of why it doesn't cross over. But I want you to be encouraged right up to that side because there is some foundational things. There's a lot of truth to God blessing and God helping us to be successful. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. And today is an uplifting, hopeful message, a message about strength and courage. And so we're going to be talking about that. And so that word is very important to today's message. Do not turn from the right or the left of God's word, of the law, that you may be what? Successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, that you may be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There it is again. I'm with you. So another thing to add to this, why we should be able to be strong and courageous is we should be strong and courageous because we're following his ways. So let's write this down. Follow his ways and you will be successful. I tell you, it's a lot easier to be strong and courageous when you have your ducks in a row. It is. When you're walking the right path, you're walking the right way, when you're walking the righteous life, when you're walking in the light, it is so much easier to be strong and courageous. When you're following God's ways, His commands, His wishes, His desires, God says, I am with you. This adds another dimension to this. When you're meditating on His word day and night, when it's written on your hearts, when it's written on your mind, then God is with you in an additional way. He's with you because His presence is with you, because He's assured us of that. I am with you. But when His word is with you, then His words are with you. When His word is in you, then His words are in you. Think about the importance of words. Words convey thoughts. Honest words convey feelings. Hopeful words convey wishes and desires. Truthful words convey facts. Encouraging words convey courage. Think of all the different things that are conveyed about the person of God through His words in His word. And if God's word is in you, then that means that God's thoughts are in you. If God's words are in you, then God's feelings are in you. What matters to Him? What gets Him excited? What breaks His heart? If God's words are in you, then God's wishes and His desires are in you. His truths are in you. His courage is in you. Thinking about it that way, it's not health and wealth, it's just logical. If those words are in you, how can you fail? You will be prosperous. You will succeed. His words are in you. His thoughts, His feelings, His wisdom. Be strong and courageous. Follow His ways and you will be successful. If you know, and this is kind of the inverse, if you know that you're going to be successful, isn't it so much easier to be strong and courageous? If you know you're going to succeed anyway, it's so much easier to be strong and courageous. Now here's where it turns a corner, and here's where we hit right at the border of health and wealth, and we turn right back around. And that is that success does not come easy. And that's what Joshua and the nation of Israel had before them. The name of the title in your book, the story this week, is The Battle Begins. And the book of Joshua is just one battle after another. It's a bloody mess. It's a bunch of people losing their heads. And it's one battle after another. They physically took the land that God gave them. So thinking about that, let's write this down as we reflect on that. God expects me to actively take what He has given me. I'm going to start unpacking some things here in a minute. And that's an important part. God expects me to actively take what He has given me. See, taking takes conscious effort. It takes deliberate action. It takes a made-up mind. It takes a dedicated heart. God expects me to take what He has given to me. He expects me to actively take it in the manner He prescribes. So you just can't take it however you want to take it. You take it in the manner He prescribes. He gives you, He doesn't expect you to blindly take something that He's offered. God always has a plan. He always has a system or a way to take that which He has given to you. I'm going to make some more sense out of this, but the idea, God has given you something, and He says, now here's how you take it. I've given it to you, here's how you take it. Let's look at the example here in Joshua, here at the Battle of Jericho. In chapter 6, it says, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. No. We're still camped outside of Jericho, and the Jerichoanians are still living in Jericho. I'm allowed to make that up, aren't I? Jerichoanians. Jerichonites. Jerichonians. They're all still living in Jericho. The walls are still there. They're still enjoying their city. But yet God is saying, I've given this to you. Do you see? This is important. It's going to be very important. We're going to build on this. I've given this to you. Now here's how to take it. Here's how to receive something I gave to you. He said, see, I delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Shout to the Lord. We sung that this morning. Give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun. He didn't have any parents. That's sad. yeah. Preacher joke. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord. I love this. There's no hesitation. This is a crazy, insane plan. This plan is irrational. It's illogical. It doesn't make sense. And Joshua doesn't question it. He doesn't say, how is this going to work? Is there something about the sound waves? Or, you know, what's the logic? What's the science behind this? Or how are we going to? No. God says, here's what you're doing. He's like, all right. And he goes, starts getting people rallied up and moving towards it. I love it. This kind of obedience is great. There's no hesitation. Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. So God says, here's what I've given you. Here's how to take it. And Joshua says, all right, let's do it. Let's do it the way God says. Let's take what God has given to us in the way that he has prescribed. How bad do you want it? Let's bring that question back up into your head. How bad do you want it? He says, here it is. I'm giving it to you. How bad do you want it? What are you going to do? How are you going to receive that? Are you going to do it the way I told you to? Here's what you do. God lays it out. Let's pause that for a minute. We're going to be walking on 3 different levels here. So we've got Joshua level, we've got another level here, and then we've got another level here. It's going to be very personal. This middle level here, it's going to be a little bit of an example for some of you, and for some of you, it's going to be an explanation. And that is, let's talk about salvation. The salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. So yeah, it's way out. We're told in John 3:16, the famous John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, salvation is described in the New Testament as a gift that God has given it. God's desire, it's very clear, his desire is that everyone would receive that gift. God has given the gift of salvation. However, you don't get the gift unless you receive it. And we can't receive the gift unless we receive the gift through God's prescribed manner. Are you seeing the connections here? He wants the world to have that gift. In order to receive it, you have to follow what God has laid out for that. You have to believe in Jesus. You have to confess that he is your Lord. You have to repent. That means turning your life to God. You have to give your life over to God. You have to be baptized into Christ. And these aren't conditions through which you're earning salvation. This is simply a gift, and here's how you receive it. Does that make sense? You're not earning the gift, because then it's not a gift. Then it's a wage. What we earn is we earn death through sin. That's what we earn. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's a gift, and yet God says, here's the gift. I'm delivering you Jericho. Here's what you have to do to get it. Here's what you have to do to receive it. So here's the gift of salvation. God expects us to have an active participation in receiving that gift. We have an active part in that. You can't receive God's gift of salvation by trying to receive it outside the manner that God prescribed. That doesn't work. You can't do it on good behavior. You can't do it just by selecting one of the mentioned parts of receiving it. Well, I'm just going to get baptized, or I'm just going to believe. No, if God says you do this and this and this and this, then do this and this and this and this, not just this and this. You do it all. You can't make up your own way to receive what God has given you. You have to receive it in the way that God has described to you. So now we've got a Joshua example, and we've got the example of our salvation. And for some of you, this is communicating to you maybe some things to be thinking about between now and the end of the message. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you believe in him. Maybe you have confessed. Maybe you repented and you've never been baptized into Christ. Where is it all? Where are you standing? Some of you, you've already done that. And for those of you there, then this is just going to serve as a double example. We have the example of Joshua and the different battles that we're going to be talking about. We have the example of salvation. And then I want to bring it down a little more poignant into your life right now. What is it that God is wanting to give you right now? Is it a job? Maybe you're jobless right now. Is it a better job? Maybe you need to move up. Is it a promotion in the same company? Is it a dream that God's put on your heart? Is it financial peace? Is that what God wants for you right now? Is that what he wants to give you? Let's get more personal. Is it a better relationship with your spouse? Is that what God wants to give you today? Is it a better relationship with your children? Or a better relationship with your parents? Or it could even go both. Is it a restored relationship with a friend that you had a fallen out with? Being able to forgive someone? What is it that God is wanting to give you? Because if he says, here's what I'm going to give you, then you have to receive it. You have to take action. You have to be an active participant in receiving what he's going to give you. You can't just sit back and expect it to drop in your lap. We have the example of Joshua. You have the example of your salvation. Now carry that into some areas in your life. You're going to have to do it by following his prescription for success. Joshua is told, follow the law. For us, the law is God's word. Follow God's word. Don't veer to the right, don't veer to the left, and you will have what? Success. So in these various areas, you have to put forth an effort to receive it. And in doing so, your action and your choices will have to be in line with what God has prescribed for it. So for instance, if God has for you a better job, and that's his gift, that's what he's got laying out there, then you have to take it and you have to receive it. And you have to do it by doing it along his prescribed methods. You're not going to get a better job by being a sluggard and lazy. You're going to have to go read Proverbs and look at the integrity that goes into hard work. Honesty. If God wants to give you a better job or a promotion at your work, you're going to have to receive it his ways. And that's the only way you're going to be able to receive it. You can't go outside of his ways and receive it. It's not done just by sitting and doing nothing or working dishonestly or working without integrity. If you want financial peace, you're going to have to love God more than your money. Because that's what the Bible says. That's his way to get what he wants to give you, to receive that. You're going to have to learn to put God first by giving to him first. You're going to have to learn to develop a generous spirit. You're going to need to not be envious of your peers and spend your money in a way to keep up with the Joneses. You got to follow his prescription. If you want a better relationship with your spouse, then you need to look to Ephesians chapter 5. And wives, you need to respect your husbands. And husbands, you need to love your wives just as Jesus loved the church. Why? Because that's what his word says. Don't veer to the right. Don't veer to the left. Whatever it is that God wants to give you, you are going to have to take it by the way that he has described. Why wouldn't God want a better job for you? Why wouldn't he want you to be successful with the gifts and talents that he's given you? Why would God not want you to have financial peace or to be successful in the way that you manage your money. Wouldn't God want for you to have a great marriage with your spouse? I mean, all these things, they're all things that it would make just perfect sense. And if God says, here's the gift I've given you, then we can look to Joshua, we can look to the way we received our salvation, and here's the way to receive it. So why not take it? And take it the way he would have you take it. See, both our obedience and our disobedient choices, our obedient and disobedient choices and actions have consequences. Let's write that down. Both our obedient and disobedient choices and actions have consequences. And I tell my boys, every action, every choice, it's got a consequence. And consequence doesn't mean that it's bad. There are good consequences. In Jericho, they obeyed God's instructions about marching around the city and blowing the trumpets and shouting, and God gave them the city. Their obedience, their obedient choices, their obedient actions, it had consequences, and those were good consequences. However, the first battle of Ai, and I always say Ai when I read it in my head, so we're just going to stick with that today. The first battle of Ai did not experience positive consequences. See, the Israelites were given certain instructions about what to do when they took Jericho. They were told a few things. They were told to spare Rahab and all of those who were in her house because she had aided the spies. They were told that all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron were to go into God's treasury as sacred items to God. Everything else was to be considered a devoted thing. I don't want to be a devoted thing in this definition. Because the devoted things, they were set aside to be destroyed, totally annihilated. So the act of devotion meant to kill or destroy everything that was devoted. Well, somewhere in the midst of all this, there was a man named Achan, and he took some of the devoted things that were supposed to be destroyed, and he took them for himself. And as a result, the next battle, so he took them in the Battle of Jericho. So the next battle, the battle against Ai, the Israelites went up. It was a small city. It was something that should have been easy to take. They only took a portion of their army because they said, we got this. And no, they went running back, tucked their tail, you know, run away. And so that was the what happened there. And Joshua's torn up about this. And he goes to God and he's falling down on his face. And God tells him, he says, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things, they have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They will turn their backs and run because they have, and yes, that's the translation there from run away. They will turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. They will not, I will not be with you, and that's never good news. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. So they found out that Achan was the one that was the culprit, and so they put him to death. And this is, so then Joshua, together with all of Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, so we get some ideas of some of the things that he took. So not only him and the things he took, but also his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, sheep, his tent, everything. Everything that belonged to him, everything that had Achan written on the label, it was gone. They took it down the valley of Achor, and Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. It's just total annihilation. They kill them, they stone them, they burn them. Then over Achan, they heaped a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned. Okay, so that's all I had on the screen there. So obedient and disobedient choices and actions, they have consequences. So now let's go to tier two. Well, not in priority or importance, just in how we're discussing things today. I just realized how that might have sounded, because tier two is what? Yes, salvation. So let's talk about salvation there. It's clear that God wants all people to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." That's what God wants. God wants everyone to come to repentance. But it takes obedience and acts of obedience to receive the gift of salvation. Those who reject God's gift won't get to take part in it. And that's harsh, but it's the truth. Not accepting it is rejecting it. There's no middle ground. It's either obedience or disobedience. Either you obey, you believe, you confess, you repent, you're baptized, or you disobey. You reject God's method. You reject God's way. Here's a gift. It's for you. You don't have to earn it. You don't deserve it. But here's what you do to receive it. Why in the world would we not listen to him? And looking at these stories, the difference between Jericho and Ai, I mean, Jericho is a fortified city, big, huge city, and God gave it to them. And he said, here's the gift I'm going to give you, that I'm going to deliver them into your hands. In fact, the way God's looking at it, and as you read that, I have delivered them into your hands. Here's what you do to take it. I have given you the gift of salvation. Here it is for you. Here's what you do to take it. Why veer from his ways? There's only obedience and disobedience. There's nothing in between. There's no gray area. There's no middle ground there. You either obey what God's word says and receive the gift, or you disobey and you reject it. So what about the personal subjects? Tier three. Finding financial peace by wearing a stocking over your head and robbing Miami Town Savings Bank is not the way God would prescribe for you to get financial peace. You can't go about something that you know God wants for you in the ways that disobey his prescriptions for you. You can't look at something and say, this is what God wants. I'm going to take it by a different manner. I want to take it by a different way. You aren't going to have a better relationship with your spouse by treating them awfully, by name-calling, by nitpicking, by having a critical nature in the household, by being uncaring. That's not how you're going to get a better relationship with your spouse. That's disobedience from what God has lined up, what God has set up. You've got to take what God has given you in the way he has prescribed, and that takes obedience. Let's write this down. Obedience takes faith to believe that God will do what he said he would do. Obedience takes faith to believe that God would do what he said he was going to do. And Jericho, back to that story about Jericho, they followed God's plans. For 6 days, they marched around, one time each day. And then on the seventh day, catching up here in verse 15, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priests sounded their trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." They did what they told them to do. Let's write this down. Only through faith and obedience are you going to see the power of God come through for you. Only through faith and obedience are you going to see the power of God come through for you. If they had not done what God asked them to do, do you think that God would have crushed the walls of Jericho? I don't see that happening. Not being consistent with all the other times we see in the Bible where God says, you do this, I'll do this. They do it, he does it. They don't do it, he doesn't do it. Constantly, boom, 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 boom. Here's what you do, and here's what I'll do if you do this. They do it, he does it. They don't do it, he doesn't do it. In this case, in Jericho, they did it. The only way we're going to be able to see the power of God come through in our lives is to, by faith, obey him. It says, when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city, just as God had said it would happen. They got to see the power of God come through because they trusted through faith, through obedience. The Israelite army returns to Ai. This time, they have clear instructions from the Lord. God tells them exactly what to do, how to go in, what angle to take. Here's how you're going to take them. And they had faith and they obeyed. And that would have been a difficult thing because they got their butts whooped the first time they went up there. And so now God's saying, no, you're going to go up there again and you're going to do it this way. You're going to do it my way. And even though it's a smaller city, I think there'd have been some intimidation there thinking, man, these guys pack a punch. We lost some guys last time we were up here. But they had faith, they obeyed, and they saw the power of God come through for them. I have no time in this message, and this was unfortunate, to even talk about the sun standing still. An amazing story. An amazing battle. And they're out there, and Joshua prays, and we'll share a little bit about it in the communion time, but he prays and the sun stands still for a day. It's amazing. Talk about seeing the power of God. You know, maybe your marriage seems like it will be an impossible thing to turn around. And I've talked with people, and I know things about certain marriages. And there are some marriages that are in some dire straits. And it's tough to bring a message like this knowing some of those things. But my question, and it is difficult of a question as it is to ask, how are you going to see God's power do what you think is impossible if you don't even believe that he can or that he will? You might feel like your marriage is an impossible thing to turn around, and yet we believe that God made the sun stand still for Joshua? Come on now. You know, maybe you feel like God has put a dream on your heart and it's much bigger than who you are. How are you going to see the power of God if you aren't trusting by faith that he will come through for you? If you really believe that God has put that out, here's the dream, here's the gift I'm going to give you. Be strong and courageous. I'm with you. You can't be defeated. Take it. Take it the way I've prescribed you to take it. Maybe that's what you're dealing with today. Maybe God's laying on your heart this dream that you've had for years and you haven't had the courage to move forward with it. Maybe today's the day. How are you going to see God's power come through if you aren't moving faithfully, if you aren't moving in obedience? Maybe you're in a bad financial situation and it seems impossible to turn around. You know, maybe it's even bigger than that. Maybe the gift out here is that God wants to actually bless you with wealth. Once again, I'm not preaching health and wealth, but I know this happens sometimes. God wants to do this sometimes. How are you going to experience that if you're not believing in the power that he has? If you're not faithfully obeying what he's got for you on the way there? And none of us here know the sun stands still story that God has for us in our life. And you're not going to find it if you're not faithfully obedient up to that point. Coming back to salvation. Many people believe that they've given their life to God because they've believed, they've confessed, they've repented, they've been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of their sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. They believe that because the foundation that they're saved on is faith. And it takes a lot of faith to believe that God has prepared a place for us in heaven. It takes a lot of faith to believe that he has forgiven me for all of my sins. He's forgiven you for all of your sins. That takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of faith to believe, to really believe that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. How can you have faith in God to the point where you say, you know what, I believe this story in Joshua. I believe that the sun stood still. I believe that God is preparing a place for me in heaven. I believe that he has saved my soul for eternity. And yet you don't believe that he can heal your marriage today. And yet you don't believe that he can help you to progress and be successful in your job or help you out financially or help you. All these are so little compared to these other things we're talking about. Be courageous, church. Be strong. If God is with you, nothing can defeat you. None of these things are out of his reach. So how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? whatever that gift is. Today, maybe it's salvation. Maybe you've never received the gift of salvation. How bad do you want it? Because if you're saying, you know what, I'm going to reject certain things, or I'm going to pick and choose things, I'm going to... No, that doesn't say that you want it. If you really want it, then you just throw it all by the wayside and you say, God, whatever you want, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. That's complete obedience. And then you see the power of God come through for you and you're saved. Maybe it's one of these situations we've talked about. What is that gift that God is wanting to give you today? So take it and keep it. The very end of the book of Joshua, in Joshua 24, Joshua reviews their journey. Joshua goes back to Abraham and talks about how Abraham went into the promised land and marked out its borders, and how Jacob then went down to Egypt, and then they raised Moses up and they got out of Egypt, and then they finally walked into the land that God had promised them again, and they took it. And he says, and this is along the lines of how bad you want to keep it. He says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So take it and keep it. How do you keep it? Pretty much keep it the same way you took it. You choose God. You comply to his ways. You commit to him alone. You take courage. Let's write those down. That's the preacher alliteration. All the C's there. C, 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 C. You choose. Joshua says, hey, now that we're here, if you want to keep it, you have to choose God and God alone. Put away all those other gods. Put away the idols. Choose him. You got to choose. You have to comply. You comply to God's ways. Don't veer right or to the left. That's how you got there. That's how you took it. Now keep it that way. We're told about our salvation, that those who are faithful, that's part of our salvation. That's that after you're saved, keeping it is being faithful. You know, you can't just work for a good marriage and then once you're there, then say, okay, now what's next? No, you got to keep it. And that takes work. That takes effort. You have to comply to God's ways. You have to commit to him and him alone. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have to commit. And then take courage. Because of all those things, take courage. Joshua was preparing these people, saying, you know, this world, this environment that you're going to live in, there are people in this land. You know, they desolated, you know, they devastated everything. They killed everything, but there are still people on the fringes, people around. And he says, look, we still live in an environment where you're going to be tempted to take on these other gods or these other idols from these other people that are on the fringes or these other things. And we can see this as we're coming up into the Judges and the Kings and the other books that are coming up in your story. You're going to see these words of Joshua and say, man, they should have listened to him. Because he knew what was going on. And in your current situation, in your salvation, or whatever it is that God's wanting to give you, you need to listen to this too. You got to take it and keep it. And in doing so, Joshua was telling them, guys, you can't veer from this. You got all this stuff around you. You got this environment that's going to threaten you, that's going to influence you to compromise how you've gotten here. And the same message is shared with us today. We live in an environment where people, they either don't know or they blatantly disagree with God's ways. We live in an environment that will encourage you. It will influence you to compromise God's ways. And if we're going to keep anything that we've received from God, we have to keep this in our mind. We have to choose. We have to comply. We have to commit. And we have to be courageous. We have to have courage. So take it. God's gift of salvation, take it. A better marriage with your spouse, take it. Financial peace, take it. That dream, that job, or that promotion, take it. Take it and keep it. Keep it by repeating what you did to take it. Choose God, comply to his ways, Commit to him alone and take courage. Take it and keep it.